Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. I pray that you will receive a special blessing today. And as a reminder, please turn off your cell phones, or I'm keeping them. But like I said last time, no flip phones. You can keep those. Before I start the message, I want to remind everyone, not only do we have, well, not that it's not important, but we have a huge thing tomorrow, which is called Vacation Bible School for all the kids. So if you heard the announcements before, you've heard Sister Maggie, and now you're hearing it again. Tomorrow, Vacation Bible School begins here in the Wayne Church until Thursday. It's going to be every day starting at 5:30, and it's going to be a great time. If you've been here before, you know how great it is. If you haven't, you'll find out how great it is. So it's starting tomorrow at 5:30 here in the Wayne Church, and so I pray that you will be here. The second most important announcement is tomorrow we have a business meeting. So I ask that all the Wayne Church members, if you can please be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock? 9:30. We're going to begin at 9:30 sharp because I know everyone has stuff to do. Vacation Bible School is actually going to give us some time from their preparation. So let's be respectful on everyone's time. Tomorrow at 9:30 we begin. It's very important that I ask all the Wayne members to be here because we're potentially going to make decisions in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for maybe could go up higher, but in repairs to the church. Do you remember last year we talked about a business, a master plan about the church? And we said three groups of people. I know Layla was responsible for one group. I know Gavin was responsible for another group, and Eric was responsible for the third option. And we have three options for this church. Are we going to fix it? Are we going to expand the church? Or are we going to buy a new church and sell this one? You know, the church board has made a recommendation, and we're going to present it to you tomorrow. So that's why I asked for you guys to be here, because your decision can potentially be in the hundreds of thousands. It could be. You know, so that's why I really ask that if you're here early, we're going to begin early. I give you my word. 9:30 tomorrow, we're going to begin on the dot. So if you can please, if you know someone that's not here and they should be here, pull them by the ear so they can come here. That's, again, those two important announcements. Let's begin the message. As you can see, the title is called Bagels, Bagels, Bagels. And how in the world am I going to speak on the mark of the beast and bagels? You'll see. I love bagels. You know, I wish they had a job where someone can be like a bagel connoisseur or sommelier or something like that. And there's certain bagels that I can't stand, but my favorite is poppy seed. If you don't like bagels, please don't talk to me, because I really love bagels. I would bless you. I really wish there was a job where you can go around and taste bagels everywhere. But unfortunately, although that's a good idea. But anyway, you'll see why and how I'm going to connect this to the mark of the beast. If we can please open up our Bibles once again to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. The book of Revelation and chapter 13. I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes. It's also on the screen. Can you guys read that? Not really? Or yes? Okay, good. So I'm going to ask you to read it with me. And am I in the way or you guys see it? Okay, good. If you can please open up your Bibles, your laptops, iPads, whatever tablet you have to Book of Revelations chapter 11. And it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." For those of us that, okay. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon." For those of us that know, maybe you don't know and you want to study the Bible more, the second beast coming out of the earth we believe is the United States in Bible prophecy. And let's continue. And it says in verse 12, "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed," the first beast. Now I want to skip to the importance of verse 16, where it says, "And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that has had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Have you ever thought or said to yourself that I will never receive the mark of the beast? You know, have you ever said to yourself, it's impossible, never happen? You know, there's no way in the world that that's ever going to happen to me. You know, are you sure about that? Have you made a decision in your, you know, in your heart that you will never be involved with that? Do you have any idea what implications are involved with receiving the mark? Do you have any idea what it's going to be like in those times? You know, I'm sorry? It's going to be horrible. It's Sister White says, imagine the persecution 10 times worse, 100 times worse. It's going to be really bad during that time. And by the time, just to let you know, by the time the mark of the beast is enacted, it's too late. You know, we've already had made our decision whether for God to receive his seal or the mark of the beast. Wouldn't it be easier in our lives if we just said that I'm striving in this life by God's grace only to receive the seal of God and not be concerned with the mark of the beast? Wouldn't it be great? Instead of trying to figure out, oh, when's the mark of the beast coming? Oh, I see this presidential candidate. Oh, I see this. I see this in the Vatican. I see this. Instead of concerning yourself with that, wouldn't it be easier if we concern ourselves with receiving the seal of God? You know, if that's our concern, that would be much easier than worrying about what, you know, the Vatican's doing, what the White House is doing. Concern yourself with receiving the mark of God. Amen? All right. Before I continue, let's have a short word of prayer. If you can please bow your heads as I pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you today for your spirit. I ask for your grace. Please be with the church family as well. May the words touch our hearts and lives, and that we may apply it to our daily lives, and that we may be found on the right side, Lord. Please be with us, we pray, in your holy name. Amen. The mark of the beast. Now, I just want to give a quick recap so everyone can, we can all be on the same page. Oh, by the way, I have a picture here. I think it shows great of Revelation 13. It shows the three beasts. Well, actually, the beast, it shows the dragon, the two beasts, people receiving the seal, and where it also says fire's coming down from heaven. So I think that's a great image. Not a great image, but I think this is a good illustration of Revelation chapter 13. You see, they received the mark of the beast on their foreheads. It's not literal. We all know that. But only those that have them will be able to buy or sell. Have you ever thought about it? Like, have you ever been so hungry that you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, but you're hungry enough to eat something you don't like because you're hungry? Or, you know, we don't think about it that much, but, you know, when our babies are crying and we're going to, will we succumb to that? If our family needs food, if we don't want to give up our homes, if we don't want to go away, if we don't want to be martyrs, you know, would we succumb to the mark of the beast? I want to give a quick recap, like I said, between the difference of the seal or the sign and the mark of the beast. The first one is found in Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, and it says, and he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. And this is talking about Abraham. So the word circumcision is also a sign or a seal. And the term is used interchangeably. It signifies the same thing. As we continue, we find in Revelation chapter 7, it's specific. It says the servants of God are said to be sealed on their foreheads, right? That's where the seal is, according to Revelation chapter 3. Did you know in the Old Testament it talks about the seal of God as well and where it will be placed? In Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4 says, go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. So Ezekiel chapter 9 as well. Exodus 31:11 talks about the sign. You see, the first three are where the seal is going to be. The Exodus chapter 4, it talks about what is that sign? What is God's seal? According to Exodus 31, it will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It's talking about the Sabbath day. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20, it says, "Keep my Sabbath holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord thy God." Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10 says, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their foreheads or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath." There's a lot more verses in the Bible that I couldn't share with you today. But if you like, I know my wife gave out some handouts, right? Did you give them out already? Okay, she gave out some. We made enough copies, but if you like, I can send more of the notes through when you receive the sermon. How's that? Okay, I'll send more in-depth of my notes for those that receive the church's sermons. So God's seal is the seventh day. It contains the Lord your God. He talks about his title, which is he's the creator. And what's his territory? Heaven and earth. You find it in Revelation. You find it in Exodus chapter 20. You find it in Genesis chapter 1. Now, as God's Sabbath is his sign or mark, expressive of his power or authority as creator, and as the third angel's message calls attention to the mark of the beast, and also to the commandments of God, wherein his mark is found. It's a little dark over here. Is it all right if I move up? I'm struggling to see my words. Well, that can you still see up there? Or I'm going to move anyway. It's kind of hot up there. All right. Good. It says, you know what my teacher used to say? Just think cool, right? And you won't be hot. Just think cool. Where am I? Okay. We are necessarily led to conclude that when the mark of the beast is enforced, it will stand in direct opposition to God's mark or sign. That is to say that as God's sign of his power is his Sabbath as commemorating his creative work, the sign or the mark of the beast will be an opposition or counterfeit Sabbath resting on papal authority and offered as evidence of papal power and rule. So God's seal is the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And we know what the mark of the beast is. It's the counterfeit Sabbath. So how does bagels have to do with this sermon? I'm going to give you three stories broken up in different areas. And the first story has to do with my wife. Now, a lot of you might not know that she has a wheat intolerance. So she can't really eat stuff with gluten or stuff, you know, with flour and stuff. So she doesn't eat regular bread like you guys do. She mostly eats gluten-free bread. Or actually, not mostly. That's what she eats. And one day she had to work in South Jersey. She travels a lot. So she had to spend the night down there because she had a presentation. And then the next morning or the afternoon, we were talking over the phone or something, and I'm like, "Did you have a chance to eat breakfast?" She's like, "No, I had to rush back to the office, but I stopped and I had a bagel." And I'm like, "What?" She's like, "Yeah, I was so hungry, I ate a bagel." And I'm like, "I'm the one who has to deal with it at night when your stomach is hurting and you can't sleep, because that's what happens when you have a wheat intolerance. You know, it hurts her stomach and she can't really sleep. So she's up at night. She's walking around or she's reading with the light on, so I'm directly affected by her eating stuff with wheat." So I was like, "I can't believe you had a bagel." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "Out of all things." Anyway, she was hungry enough that she ate a bagel, you know, and that's her story. She doesn't eat bagels. She actually doesn't even like bagels. I'm the one who enjoys bagels. But anyway, so she had a bagel, having a wheat allergy. You know, she's okay, but she had a bagel anyway because she was hungry enough. How can we be sure to receive the seal of God? So now we learned what the seal and the mark is, right? We're all clear? Any doubts, questions? We can see me later after the service because I got to roll. How to receive the seal of the living God? How do we receive the seal? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, can someone please read that? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. How does this go down? Do I just, okay. Okay, so it says each person should give according as he has determined, right, in their heart. The second one is found in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Could someone please read that? Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. I'll get out of your way. Okay. Can someone read Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16? Hint, it's on the screen. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Thank you. How can we be sure to receive the seal of God? By making a purpose in our lives. The word purpose, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, says the verb, which does not occur elsewhere in the New Testament, is used in its full ethical significance as indicating not a passing impulse nor a vague wish, but a deliberate resolve, deciding both on the means, not an emotion. We've made a determination in our minds. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the interest we think we make for ourselves, we need to be. In Ruth 1, verse 16 through 18, Ruth, this is a little paraphrase of what Ruth is saying. Some people, like her sister, they love him, which is talking about Jesus, yet leave him because they do not love him enough, but love other things better. Ruth is an example of this grace, of the grace of God, inclining the soul to choose the better part. In other words, we must be deliberate. We must make a deliberate resolution or purpose in our hearts daily to be committed to God and His salvation. When God's people are in Babylon, they need to take special care that they partake not of her sins. Remember, Daniel and his friends were in Babylon? See the power of resolution. It silences temptation. If we make a resolution in our hearts, in our minds, it will silence temptation. Those that go in religious ways without a steadfast mind stand like a door half open, which invites a thief, but resolution shuts and bolts the door. Resist the devil and force him to flee. Amen? If we resist the devil, he will flee. You know, there's a song that we like to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? You can sing with me, follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. We have to sing that every single day. To make a resolution in our minds that we will not, or that we will receive the seal of God. I have another story about bagels. Now, I hate caraway seeds. So in that way, I hate caraway seed bagels. That's why I don't eat rye bread. That's why I don't eat anything that has caraway seeds. Well, one day, I left work late. You know, go figure. I work in the kitchen, right? But I leave hungry. And I had to catch a PATH train to go home. And that time I was working downtown. And I was running through the Oculus or the mall down there in the World Trade. It's a beautiful mall if you haven't been there. You know, I recommend it's nice. It's all white. It's beautiful. Anyway, I was running to get the PAV train, and there was a bagel shop to my left. So I run in, I pay, grab a bagel, and run. And I didn't even see which kind. I just said, I want a bagel. And I grabbed the bagel, and I bit it. And as soon as I bit into it, I literally stopped running. And I'm like, do I spit this out? What do I do? Because it was just, in my mind, it was just gross. You know, like all the sensors from my brain were like, spit it out. You know, it's caraway seed. And I'm like, oh, I just paid for it. You know, I was arguing with myself, no, I paid for this. I got to eat it. You know, I was thinking about money. And then I'm like, oh, I just paid for this bagel. And I hate caraway seed bagels. And I'm going to miss my train. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to eat it. I was hungry enough that I ate the bagel. And after that, I always look at the bagels because sometimes if they put them in the same bag, sometimes they get the caraway seeds. So even if you brush it off, you still get that scent. So I'm very particular with my bagels. So once again, I was hungry enough that I ate that bagel. Even though I didn't like it, even though I detest. I know caraway seeds has a lot of health benefits, believe me. But I don't care. I just don't like caraway seeds. Yeah, she knows I hate caraway seeds. Anyway, so I was hungry enough that I ate the bagel. How can we be certain to avoid the mark and be sealed by God? How can we be certain? Let's look at more Bible verses. There's a lot. I only put down a couple. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee," right? Oh, I'm thinking of another one. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You're right. "I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will not follow, that I will follow your righteous laws." There's another verse in Matthew 4:4 where it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's an important verse, by the way. You'll see why later. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will," what? "Will never pass away." So how can we be certain to avoid the mark and receive the seal? It says, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the last one, Psalms 119:11. That's the one. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The book Desire of Ages says that Jesus used that verse in his heart all as he was a young kid growing up. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart." Jesus had made a covenant, a commitment with God to say that he would not sin against him. As we immerse ourselves with the word of God, we will learn to give God his due honor and glory. Immerse ourselves with his word, and that will help us. That will be a sure way to avoid the mark and to receive God's seal. You know, there's another hymn that I like. It says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thou says the Lord." You know, in the chorus, you want to sing the chorus, all right? "Jesus, Jesus, how I love, trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." The more we trust him, the more that will be on the right side. And as we take him at his word, you see that? And if we rest upon his promise, we will be fine. You know, yes, I do believe what the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast," right? Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 also says, "For the grace of God that," what? "Bringeth salvation unto men, has appeared unto all men." So I do believe that salvation is a gift of God, right? By his grace. But the Bible also says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 that we have to work out our own salvation with what? With fear and trembling. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the word is defined where it says fear is defined by the word yirah, which means to revere or respect. And it's talking in relations to God. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, a man says, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We have to do our part in our salvation. You see, the Lord did his part, and he's doing his part right now in the heavenly sanctuary, but we have to do our part. Amen? We have to do our part in salvation. I got another story about bagels. This is my last story about bagels. I just recently had been moved to somewhere else after Lord and Taylor closed. They moved me to help support a school. And, you know, when you're in a new place, you're not yourself right away. You know, you haven't broken out of your shell. Sometimes it takes me a couple months to break out of my shell because, you know, they for some reason, they all think I'm mean. I think it's just my face, the face I carry everywhere. So that helps me a lot when I go to a new place because everyone's scared of me. It's just my face. You know, they don't know that I'm actually a real funny guy. I am, you know. I'm a nice guy. I am. I'm real funny. But everyone thinks I'm real mean, so that helps me at the beginning. You know, then once they get to know me, they know that, you know, oh, this guy's not really mean. They wouldn't talk to me because they thought I was mean. So that I used that in my favor. You know, I would ask them for stuff, but yes, you know, but I wasn't saying it in a mean way, just the way my face looks. Anyway, so I went to a new place, and, you know, like I said, I was in my shell, so I didn't really talk to anyone, and it was the first day, and I was starving, I was hungry, and they said, if you guys want, go upstairs. We set up a breakfast, because the kitchen wasn't open yet. The school's, the winter break was over, so on Monday, the school is going to restart. So we were there Thursday and Friday getting ready for when the kids come back from winter break. And I think it was Friday. Anyway, we were there. We were prepping. I was starving. Like, I wanted to eat whatever was around me. But, you know, I'm in a new kitchen. It's not really my kitchen. So, you know, I wanted to respect, you know, the chef that was there as well. So I was just like, oh, my God, you know. I was drinking water to help the hunger go away. And then he said, there's breakfast upstairs in a little auditorium. So I went up there. And another group of people had already come and demolished the food. It was gone. So all there was left was an everything bagel. Oh, man. And that's my second worst bagel. You know, what helps it is the pretzel salt. That's what helps it. But it's got like onions and garlic and, you know, it has sesame, poppy seeds and sesame. Anyway. The only thing that saved it was a salt on top of it. And I'm there like, am I going to eat this or am I going to just drink orange juice till, you know, if they feed us lunch? So then I said, all right, fine, I'm going to eat this bagel. And I'm there eating a dry bagel. And I'm just like, oh, this is the grossest thing. By the way, the caraway seed bagel is dry too. But this time I really succumbed to my urge and I started putting, I don't know if it was butter or cream. I was just like, I need something just to get that garlic flavor away. And I was hungry enough that I ate the bagel, even though, so please never offer me a caraway or everything bagel. Never, please. I'll never talk to you again. You know, you see, Daniel made a commitment. He made a sound commitment in his mind, in his heart, that he was not going to defile himself with the king's food or with sin in general. And we should do the same in our lives. You see, if we could keep the temptation at a distance, then it'll be easier to resist when it's near. So when temptation's at a distance and we make a steadfast commitment, when it's near, it'll be easy to get away from the temptation. You see, we need Jesus in our lives moment by moment, just like the hymn, moment by moment, right? I'm kept in his love, moment by moment, I lie from above, looking to Jesus, the glory does shine, moment by moment, O Lord, what? I am thine. So what do bagels have to do with this sermon anyway? You know, as we move, okay. All right, here we go. What does this have to do with it anyway? You see, there will be a time when we have to make a decision. I'm starting to wrap up this sermon. So, and I'm trying to tie all the loose ends together. There will be a time when we have to, when the decision will be made, and the sealing will go out, the mark of the beast, or the seal of God. It's going to be so big. Now, I like to use the example of Hurricane Sandy. Remember Hurricane Sandy? Remember those long lines of gasoline where people's cars were running out of gas, or some people were not going to work? Because I couldn't go to work for 3 days. I was working in the city, but the buses weren't running. And so I was home for 3 days. My boss didn't believe me. He's like, no way. I'm like, New Jersey Transit is down. You know, for weeks later, people that were taking trains into the city, they couldn't because the trees fell and the wires were on the train. So it was a mess. I didn't even want to go to work because it was hours to get home. The buses were rerouted. We were going through Karlstad, through Giant, all over the place because it was a mess when we finally got to work. Anyway, do you remember how bad it was? And it was just, I don't want to say just because, you know, some people died and it was a disaster, but it was a hurricane. And just by that hurricane, it almost shut things down. I remember that Sunday, Delma and I, we were in the city having dinner. And the subways were going to close, and the restaurant's like, you guys got to get out because everything's shutting down. So we were there Sunday, and we saw how the city was getting, it was literally shut down. You know, there was a blackout last week. So things like this, you know, we don't think of the implications it has. So when the mark of the beast happens, it's going to be really bad. We have to make a commitment now that we will serve God. Because that's going to happen soon. God's going to give us a seal, or we're going to get the mark of the beast. So what are bagels? What do all these things have to do? You know, what the reason I use bagels is because I want to use something that we can all relate to, and it's food, right? Who does not like food? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. Everyone loves food, you know. Yes, it's a necessity. We need to eat it, but it's also, you know, it's good. You know, it tastes great. I love eating food. I love it. And that's why when I talk to, like, Sunday and Jenny and other people, most of the time we end up speaking about food because that's what I love is food. Anyway, why are we here? Why are we in this church? Why, 2019, are we here in Wayne? What are we looking for in our lives? You know, are we looking for Jesus? Or are we looking for something else? In the book of John, chapter 6, verse 26 and 27, Jesus is walking. He's going to give a sermon, and he sees a whole group of people behind him, and he turns around. They ask him a question, right? And he's like, you don't come here for the signs and miracles. He's like, you come here for the bread. He's like, all you're following me for is food. You're not looking for me. You're not seeking for me. You're looking for food. You're looking specifically. He says what? He says, you come here for the bread. And I believe that if we're not grounded in God's word now, when we're hungry enough, we will succumb to something that we don't want to, right? If we haven't made a steadfast commitment, we're going to succumb to eating everything bagels. We're going to succumb to eating caraway seed bagels. You know, we're going to succumb to receiving the mark of the beast. Because Jesus says, you don't come for me. So that's why I ask, why are you here today? That's what I'm asking today. Why are you here today? And all of us have to answer that on our own. Why are we here today? Are we here to seek Jesus, or are we just here for the food? You know, do we just come for potluck? Do we just come to hang out? Do we just come because it's cooler? And it's not really cooler. But, you know, is it nicer here than it is outside? Yes, it is. Would you rather be outside in the direct sunlight? I don't think so. You know, so it is nice in here. It is nicer. So what do we come searching for? Do we come searching for the food? Or are we here searching for Jesus? In John 6:35, Jesus declared that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. When the mark of the beast is enacted, when persecution begins, God's people already have been sealed. We already have made our decisions. You know, in Exodus chapter 30 or 32, I don't remember exactly, when the golden calf, I think it's chapter 32, when Moses, God tells Moses, you got to go down. Something's happening in the camp. Moses, I can just imagine him running with Aaron, you know, running down. The elders are running down, seeing what's going on. And I have a vivid imagination. And so I see them like stumbling on the rocks, but just still running and running to see what's going on. And they see the debauchery going on, right? And the Bible says that they rose up early to play. They weren't really playing. They were doing all these crazy things. He saw them actually naked, right? That's what the Bible says. And then Moses, after the Ten Commandments are broken, he says, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And the Bible says all the sons of Levi came to him. You know, that's when they had to make a decision of who is on the Lord's side. That's why I asked today, we have to make a decision. Are we on the Lord's side? Joshua, when he was giving his closing remarks to the people of Israel, what did he say? This day, you have to make a decision. He's saying, you guys can do whatever you want. You can serve the gods of the Amorites, or you can serve the God who was on the other side of the flood, right? He's saying, you can do whatever you want, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had made a decision, and throughout the entire Bible, there's always, when are you going to make a decision? When are you going to make a decision? Elijah, when are you going to make a decision? Every time during the Bible, they're always asking. But the positive thing is, in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Amen? What I'm trying to say is that we're not going to be alone. God will help us. We like to use Philippians 4:13 when we want to strive for something. When I want to lose weight, or when I want to go to the gym, or when I want to run a marathon, or when I want to pass a test, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We use that. But the context of that verse has to do with salvation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one who gives us strength. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not in your own understanding. Acknowledge him and what? He will direct your paths, right? We have to make a commitment every single day that we are not going to receive the mark of the beast and that we will receive the seal of God. We learn the difference. We learn what the seals are. We learn that we have to make a steadfast commitment, right? And how do we do that? Staying in the Word, reading the Word daily, making it our daily food, right? We don't come here just for the bread. We come here for God's word to seek Jesus. Amen? So in closing, this is what I want to leave with you today. How to receive the seal of God to be faithful till the end. Amen? Thank you so much for your time. May God be with each and every one of us as we strive every day to be faithful to him. But by his grace, amen? By his grace and by the faith, we will see him one day when he comes in the clouds of glory. Our closing hymn is 216.